Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, your home for all things Marvel, DC, Star Wars, and so much more. Join Derek and Ian as they tell tales to astonish along this journey into mystery. Grab some snacks and settle in because Paperweight Entertainment starts now. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast. I am your co-host, Derek Hoskins. I almost said host that time. I am tired and I've had a cold and
we know who's running this show. We know who's piloting this ship.
My brain. And the voice that you just heard, of course, is that of my lovely co-host, my good friend and yours, the glue that holds us together, Mr. Ian Torrance. Ian, other than being very sleepy tonight, how are you doing?
Very sleepy tonight, Derek. Thank you for asking. Did not get a chance to get my my nap in. That's okay. That's right. I'm a 36-year-old man and I take naps.
But wait
when
a minute.
I can.
Are you? Have you been napping as often?
No, but I probably should because let me tell you, like I've gotten off the beaten path of the healthier style meals. Now, still, like if I eat pasta, I eat wheat pasta, and I still eat. I know you haven't jumped on board with this yet, and for those of you who haven't tried it, if you like meatless but you think it kind of tastes disgusting, Impossible chicken nuggets are delicious.
Impossible
and Impossible meatballs also delicious.
Impossible.
I know.
Impossible. I have not tried them. I'm gonna have to, but
they're definitely more expensive,
right?
But they are good because I've had some of the plant based or meatless or whatever you want to call it, like chicken nuggets, and most of them are not good. This was the first one I found that was very enjoyable. The Impossible meatballs are killer. They go well with any sort of pasta dish, or you could just put some sauce in there, whether it be a barbecue or like pasta sauce of some sort. I usually make my own for it, but yeah, man, you should try it sometime. But yeah, long story short, because of this, and I haven't been drinking as much coffee either. I usually drink just a cup of black coffee a day, and my energy level has gone way down this week apparently, and I haven't really napped that much, but today I could really have used one. So that's my life.
I wasn't going to go on this track and on this train, but I had two things I have to say before we move on. First, of course, you like your coffee black. Like, how do you like
I like mine. Like, I like my
men. That's the men. Joke. From Airplane. Never mind. I like my coffee black. Like, I like my men. It's from Airplane. It's a young kid. Like the two young kids.
But there's another joke.
There probably is. But that's one of my favorite jokes from Airplane, because the whole bit. Okay, I'm going to date myself here. Airplane's one of the funniest movies ever made. If you've never seen it, please do yourself a favor and check it out. But one of the bits is on the plane is these two very young children. I would say maybe 8 to 10. I don't know exactly how old they are, but they're both dressed in professional dress and they're having a full on conversation as if they were two adults that were traveling and happened to be seated next to each other. And it's one of the funniest bits of the entire movie. Every time they cut to them, it makes me laugh.
My favorite part of an Airplane is the drinking problem. And he's just fucking throwing the drink on him. Damn it. No, I can't remember who said the joke, and I'm going to botch the joke. This is not how the joke goes. I want to say it was like Bo Burnham. This is like, oh, I like my coffee like I like my wife without somebody else's dick in it or something like that. I can't remember. It feels like it was a Bo Burnham joke.
That sounds like a Bo Burnham joke. Like 10 years ago, Bo Burnham. Not like sad, depressed, existential crisis Bo Burnham we get now, which is awesome. He's still
not
very
the one
funny.
Who's been quarantined for
right,
apparently 27 years.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, if you didn't watch Bo 5 years before that special came out, completely different person.
Yeah, still is,
but
brilliant.
Also the same. Yeah,
still brilliant. As ever, but yeah,
but definitely, like if you put style. Those two side by side, but even the style, like the look, the hair, the beard, and everything about him was completely different.
Yeah,
but not in a bad way.
Inside was amazing. All right, we're going to get to Mandalorian because we're going to catch up on Mandalorian. But the last thing I want to say is, of course, you haven't been eating as well. There's a woman in your life that makes us fat. Excuse me.
I've actually been cooking for her.
Yeah, that's what happens. You want to please them, and they want to keep you bigger so that you're not attracted to other women. I need you
she
to get fatter.
That's what I'm doing. She thinks I'm fattening her up so nobody would be attracted to her. And I'm just like, you're a woman. That's not how that works. Yeah. That was a joke for those of you who think to take everything I say seriously on here, Derek and Bob. Bob's not here tonight, so.
No, Bob's not here. It's weird, just the two of us. It's been the three of us for an entire season of The Last of Us. And now without him here, it's like we're missing something. But I'm excited to get into Mandalorian with just you, buddy.
I know. I'm excited to tell you again in more depth what I just told you a moment ago before we hit record.
All right. Well, then let's get into it. So, yeah, we're going to talk about season 3 of Mandalorian, episodes 1-4, to get us all caught up so that we can, by next week, just dive into episode 5, and we'll do our normal week-to-week after show like we normally do. Last of Us kind of screwed up our schedule, but that's okay. That show was amazing. If you haven't watched our reviews or listened to our reviews for Last of Us, go check those out. So, excuse me, I'm still getting over a cold. I apologize if I cough into the microphone. So Mandalorian season 3, episode 1-4. Ian, I know how you feel about it, so I'm going to go ahead and let you know I've been loving this season so far.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll let you hit on what we talked about a minute ago before we started recording. And I agree with you, and we'll dive more into that. But I'm really enjoying this show, this season. I'm loving the story that we're getting right now. And excuse me, a look inside the life of this Mandalorian covert and kind of how they do things. I loved the ritual of the young Mandalorian reciting the creed, getting his helmet. Yeah, the Yingling. You know, the action has been great. There's been a lot of intrigue of what's going on with Dr. Pershing, the cloner that we've seen in the first couple of seasons.
You did better than me. I thought it was Pershing.
It might be. I don't remember. But either way,
I highly doubt I'm right on that.
Either way, we have something to talk about the young lady that is with him in that episode.
I don't know if we're allowed to talk about it.
No, just that we know who she is. So anyway.
I don't know if that's what we're allowed to talk about.
Look, there are pictures. It happened. I'm going to make everybody think it's like something real serious. It's not.
It's not that big.
It's not that big of a deal. But anyway, I'm really interested to see where they're going to go with that storyline. And also seeing what's going on with the New Republic and what they're doing. Some of their questionable moral treatment of the Empire, the Imperials that are coming into the New Republic. but the most interesting thing of this season so far is Bo-Katan for me. I cannot wait to see what she's up to. I don't believe for a second that she actually is believing all of a sudden in the way. I think that she sees an opportunity to get into a position of leadership with a new group of Mandalorians that are going to let her go and try and rule Mandalore again. She's going to try and ride that mythosaur, but it's not going to be here. I'm going to say it now. Din Djarin is riding that mythosaur before the end of the season. He's going to do it.
So he seems to ride a creature in any show he's in, doesn't he? At least once.
Yes. Yeah, at least once. Not and also we've seen that like Pascal,
I mean like Din Djarin.
Yeah, because like in the first
Mandalorian, whether it be Boba Fett.
Yeah, well, because like we've gotten the Mandalorians like to ride creatures. That's what they do. You know, they rode the mythosaurs. You had him riding on the Blurg in the first season. You had him riding on the excuse me. I think he rode a Bantha at one point.
Like a Bantha.
You know, Boba Fett was riding on the Rancor at the end of Book of Boba Fett.
You got really still or you froze?
I'm back.
I'm going to guess you froze.
I froze. Am I back?
You're so still.
You're still. All right. Sorry for that weird glitch. We're having some storms in the area. It's messing with my connection. So hopefully we can get through this without any issue. We were talking about how Mandalorians like to ride things and, you know, like a bantha.
Like a bantha.
Like a bantha.
I didn't have
my chair actually bounces a little bit so I can do it. Like so, Ian, what have you thought about the season so far overall?
Overall, I'll start by saying that what I said to you earlier, hear me out. What I said to you earlier was, in the first four episodes now, there's not a lot happening. There's not a main antagonist that they pinned down to just being like one person or one entity or whatever. They're definitely obviously hinting at this New Republic thing, but they haven't mentioned it much. They did have that one full episode, but it had nothing to do with actually like the Mandalorian or any of the Mandalorians or Din Djarins or anybody outside of that group anyway. So there wasn't really a lot going on that we know is a threat to anybody outside. I mean, obviously foreshadowing, like we know something's going to happen, right? We assume. With that being, and like I said, like the only thing, I'm not saying nothing's happening. That's not what I mean by that. I mean, like, usually an antagonist has showed up and we know what direction the show's going, and we have a good idea of how it's going to end up toward the end. With that being said, you told me earlier that a lot of people were kind of complaining about the same thing online. I don't mean it as a complaint, because I only brought it up because I still think the show is fantastic. I have not been bored one time. I think the story has been great this entire season so far. I think the entire show is good. I am absolutely loving this season just as much as I loved, you know, the first few. So I don't mean it as a negative or a con even. I'm just pointing out what I think is the obvious, that it's not set up anything hardly yet in the first four episodes. And I don't think it's a problem, because like I said, the storytelling has just been so good. I've still been very intrigued. And I think every character in the show so far, the new ones, the old ones, they haven't introduced us to a lot of new characters that we haven't seen at least once or twice before. But I still am loving it. I didn't mean it as a knock earlier when I brought it up. I was just saying as a topic point, like, hey, this is one I want to touch on because I think it's important to mention how good this show is at keeping you involved and keeping your attention, even if you don't know what direction it's going in, because they're not really giving anything to work with. So I don't know if we're going to have like a surprise villain pop up or anything like that, or maybe there's no main villain and that's fine. It doesn't have to be a big bad at the end of the season, which I'm sure there will be, but I think it's pretty cool that that we saw Din go into the mines, and he was basically going to cleanse his soul in the waters of Lake Minnetonka. So seeing the giant Megasaurus,
Mythosaur.
What's that? Mythosaur.
Mythosaur.
Seeing that giant thing was pretty cool. I was like, oh fuck, it's Cthulhu. I just think awesome. It's funny. Go ahead.
I was gonna say what's awesome is we've never seen that in live action before.
Yeah.
That's always been something that's been like in comics mentioned and illustrations and things like that. And we've seen the skull in live action, because yeah, that skull that's been it's a Mandalorian symbol ever since Boba Fett. But it was so cool to see that in live action. Boba Fett.
Boba Fett.
Where? But anyway, go on. Yeah, but I love seeing that in live action.
I just thought it was so funny. He walks into this water and he's just given this inspirational, like,
reciting the creed as he walks down.
About time. Finally going to do it. Going to be restored. And then, just snatched up by something. And that dive by Bo-Katan. Now, I will say, there must be a built-in, like, something in those masks, because they don't fill up with water, apparently.
Well, he mentioned that they can pressurize their mask, like if they're in an atmosphere. So I'm guessing that they're like, yeah, we mentioned it early on in the episode. We can just say that that's what happened. She pressurized.
I thought it was, but she didn't click or do anything. Yeah, maybe it's mouth activated.
It's a button in her chin, just a little.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm just giving you a hard time on the whole thing. I don't really care about that. That was awesome. That was an awesome scene. That whole thing was pretty cool.
I was really surprised that we got it already.
Yeah.
I thought,
which leads me to believe that she's up to something.
Yeah.
I don't want to not believe it, because I like Bo-Katan, but at the same time, I think she's about to, like, she just completely pulled a 180.
Mm-hmm.
She completely pulled a 360 on him. No, you idiot. It's a 180. If I did a 360, I would spin around in a circle and back where I started. Last Action Hero
is a great movie. Like, I don't care what anybody says. I could not believe that you were quoting it. I got so excited. I love Last Action Hero.
I don't care what anybody. I'll die on that hill.
It was so good. The tar pits. Oh my god. Love it.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes, that's a very good dumb movie.
It is. It's so stupid.
It's so fun. It's just a fun movie.
Yeah, it's a famous movie starring Arnold Braunschweiger.
I Rubber Baby Bubba Bottoms. Ha! Bet you didn't know I was going to say that, did you? No, Stallone wasn't in this movie. What do you mean? It's his best role. No, I could quote that. I could quote that whole movie. I did not think you were going to catch the reference on
Oh,
the,
it's
on
one
the
of my favorite
360
scenes.
Thing.
Yeah, because that character.
You do 360 of me. He even spins the circle in the pool.
Uh-huh, yeah, he's in the pool. That's right before he kills him, finally. He gets tired of it. He fed up, and he...
He always says something boneheaded, and he corrects him under his breath, like,
mm-hmm.
You idiot. Okay, well, that was fun. I didn't think
became Last Action Hero. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think you were going to catch on to that.
But Mandalorian's fine. Let's talk Last Action Hero.
Okay, so I think it's very underrated.
Agreed.
No, I just thought it was really, really funny, so to say. Not funny, ha-ha, but funny that basically what you said, she was shitting on this group the entire
For two
last
seasons.
Season
for
yeah like that, well, okay so yeah
for a season and a half she's been doing nothing but like talking crap,
and then he goes to like see her and he's like, hey, so this is, she's like, ah, it's just a myth and it's cursed, and why would you even want to go like prove yourself to these people, and they're nothing and they gave up on our people, they're not real Mandalorian, so why are you listening to them? And they're like, hey, if you want, you can stick around and be one of us since you never took your helmet off. She's like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna lead a charge and go up there and fight this pterodactyl. And I was just like, yeah, she's got to be up to, and I hate that she is, because I do like her, but I definitely think she's up to something. Well, but I also couldn't think, like, I kept thinking, like, she completely pulled a 180, and I couldn't get that 360 speech out of my head.
Every time I hear the term, they pulled a 180, I
think
that
of that
in
scene
my head.
Every time.
Every single time.
Just when I think I can't fall in love with you anymore.
I know. We were made for each other.
I can't believe I've known you this long and not known your love for Last Action Hero.
Oh, it was one of my favorite movies when I was a kid.
Same. I loved it.
I had the toys. I had a couple of little action figures.
Yeah.
I loved it. Loved it. But anyway.
Daddy.
So
you're going to hold on with your legs and reach out with your hands and I will catch you. Believe in me, Daddy. I scream that to my brother all the time when I see him. Just that random speech in the middle of wherever we are.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my god. All right. So Bo-Katan.
I'm sorry.
So Bo-Katan. So I to touch on your point about there not being a main antagonist, I think you're right. And I don't think there's going to be a main antagonist in this season. I think we're gonna get a couple of red herrings. I think that they've already thrown out two. One, they mentioned that Moff Gideon escaped the court of whatever he was supposed to be doing, that he didn't get executed. He wasn't executed. Yes. So he's still around. He's in play. Also, the pirate captain, like the big pirate lord that they mentioned in the first season, in the first episode, which was awesome. That's one of the best scenes that they've had in this entire series. Is when
that's awesome.
When Carl Weathers' character walks out and he's having this conversation with the pirates and he's explaining to them how things are going to go, and he doesn't back down for a second. And he's so cool and he's so calm. And then Mando's in the back, just ready to go. It's one of my favorite scenes, if anything, in Star Wars. It was such a great, fun old Western scene. It was Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday is what that scene
yes,
was.
It was.
And it was great. It was such a good scene. And so I'm excited. So I think that the pirate like lord or whatever he was, the pirate king, is a red herring. I think he's gonna be a problem.
We have a problem.
Don't be a menace again.
That scene was so cool though.
Yeah, it was.
Carl Weathers did get a Apollo Creed, he did get a shot off, but I will say, Mando, man,
Mando
he was
took care
ready.
Of it.
He was chomping at the bit.
Yep, he was just waiting on an opportunity, and he seized on that opportunity. But so I think that the pirates are going to be around. I'm sure that we're going to run into them again.
Oh, look, can we talk about the fact that that guy was like, "I like the good old days. Let's go in there and have a drink." He's like, "Well, that is a school."
Yeah,
now.
That's a school.
He's like, I don't care. I want to have a drink.
Have a
well,
drink
they probably
here.
Don't have alcohol in there. It's
yeah, what kind of school do you think this is? Let's just walk in. The kids are all like, "Oh, you want a drink? Yeah, hang on." Just get out from under their desk.
We got drinks.
Some Terramana right here.
Like, why do you have these here? Because it's a school.
But yeah, I love
that
scene.
Is it a college?
The story that they've told so far, I think that there have been a couple of things where they jump around. Like, I love the scene about him. I love that in the first episode, they try and get IG-11 back. Because I was curious about that. Was that actually him, or did they make a statue? No, they straight up just took that droid and what was left of him and put him up in the town square.
And they just stripped him down afterwards. Mando's like, I need him.
Yeah, I'm going to need him.
Get him down.
And they got a whole crew of Babu Fricks, because I can't remember their names. Babu Frick was the character from Rise of Skywalker that is that same alien race. but seeing Grogu try and give them hugs was amazing. I had a whole point. Okay, back to the point. I got so sidetracked by that awesome standoff in front of the school. I think that we're not going to have a main antagonist, like I said. I think that it's going to be a couple of people that we're going to be, that they want us to think is the main antagonist, but I think that we're going to see a Mandalorian civil war. I think that what's going to happen is you're going to have Din and Bo-Katan both rising to a position of leadership within this Mandalorian covert, because we already know that Din is there because he's not an apostate anymore. He immediately went and saved Paz Vizsla's son, which repaired that relationship with Paz Vizsla. And then we also have Bo-Katan, who led this hunting party, who proved herself, who, you know, she's now got a new piece of armor that the armorer made for her. And so I think that what's going to happen is they're both going to rise into a leadership position, and she is going to challenge for the Darksaber, and I think she's going to lose. But I think she's still going to try and win. I think she's still going to try and lead, because Bo-Katan's whole thing is that she's a little too ambitious. She's tried to be the leader for a couple of times. And again, I know you haven't watched Clone Wars. That's where she started, where she was a member of Death Watch. And, you know, her sister was the Duchess of Mandalore. And so she was a member of this like terrorist organization that was trying to kind of overthrow the government. And then after that, she had to fight against Darth Maul. It was a whole thing. And so she tried to lead Mandalore two or three times. And I think that she believes that it is her birthright and she wants it desperately. That's why she was so upset that Din has the Darksaber. I think she has not given up on that. I think that she saw in the Children of the Watch and this covert her opportunity, excuse me, to rise back up and be a leader and ruler of Mandalore again. Now that she knows that the planet isn't cursed, now that she knows that it's inhabitable, and now she's got an army of Mandalorians that she is quickly gaining the trust of. So I think Bo, sure, if she's not the main antagonist, I think that that is what is going to be the plot, is that it's going to be about the people choosing sides between her and Din and who's going to lead, even though Din doesn't want to lead, which makes him a great leader.
Right. That's what I loved about the ending of last season. She's just like, I want that Darksaber. He's like, all right, fine, fucking take it here.
Yeah, you can have it.
She's like, no, I have to beat you in combat. He's like, oh, God, I don't want to do that. I just take it. Can you just take it? What if I just let you win? No.
Yeah, that was the other thing. I was wondering, like, can he just pretend to lose? Like, Bo-Katan is probably, in all honesty, she's probably the best fighter of that entire group of Mandalorians that we just saw. She was royalty on Mandalore, on their home planet. She was raised as a warrior. She said her father was a fighter. She was raised from birth to be a warrior. She is probably the most skilled combatant there. She could easily beat Din.
No, I lost. I had to take it.
Oh gosh. Oh, shucks. But I think that something's going to happen and that he's going to feel the need to not allow her to lead. That she's going to break his trust in some way. And I think I kind of hope that happens. I won't be disappointed if it doesn't, but I kind of hope that happens because I think that can be a really interesting story.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Either way, I think these first four episodes have been great. Even the little filler episode with the Doctor and the New Republic and everything. I know that's been everybody's least favorite one so far. I like that one. I had fun
with it. I did. It's probably my least favorite one of the season.
So bad for that Doctor.
I did too. You set me up. You set me up. And don't worry. This isn't a mind flayer. It looks like a mind flayer.
It's definitely a mind flayer. Well, we don't use it for that anymore.
Yeah, I knew from the second that I saw her. Like, she, I know they tried to play it like she was just going to be like a friend and a helping hand. I knew from the second I saw her that she was gonna do something shady. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that was just me. Did you believe her at any point?
Or no, God, no, not one second. I just knew that she was just oozing evil off of her. At least I was hoping that was what was oozing off of her. But here's the thing. I was kind of confused as to why she cranked up the whole volume on the Mind Flayer thing. Like, I get what the story they're trying to tell is, like, why she did that was to kind of test him. Which, you know, okay, kind of figured that was what was happening, but I don't know why it's so important for her to completely, like, wipe his memory.
I don't know why it's important for her either, other than just out of spite. I mean,
I don't know why. He's a very likable man.
Well, I think that smart. Was she,
or maybe that's what she's trying to do. Like, even though, like, she, like, kind of, like, flays his memories a little bit into, like, forgetting what was going on, maybe she's trying to, like, strip him of that power because she thinks that, you know, even though because he's such a good-spirited person, but maybe he would make that same decision again if he had a chance. You know what I mean?
I don't think
she takes that power away from him to where if he doesn't know how to do anything, then she doesn't ever have to worry about him coming back around to that decision.
I think it was straight vindictiveness and vengeance because she was, in Moff Gideon's crew. I can't remember if she was the pilot or like the co-pilot on the ship that he was.
I thought she was like a. Not a captain, but like a first mate of something.
Right. She was, I can't remember. I'd have to go back and watch the season, but I know she was someone, excuse me, there where when they came and got him or when they went to Gideon's ship, one or the other, she was there. She was
on the poop deck.
And so I think that she's full of it. I don't think that she's reformed in any way. I think that she's still a true believer in the Empire and she's upset because she sees him as a traitor. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say. And because
I agree with you now that you put that into perspective and said it out loud, that makes a lot of sense.
But I could be wrong and she could just be like, no, maybe she really is a true believer and she thinks, no, he'll never change. You know, he was so easily manipulated and maybe that's what we'll find out. But if the way that it read to me is that it was a vengeance thing that she wanted to get him back for betraying Gideon. So I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. The other thing that I wanted to talk about. There are two more topics I want to hit, and we don't have to stay on here for hours and hours. the action in this season has been phenomenal.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of great space battles already. Some really good him running away from trying to get away from the pirates, and then he and Bo-Katan against the TIE fighters. We're both incredible. The action piece at the beginning in the first episode with the big giant crocodile thing was excellent. The big, you know, devil bird thing in this week's episode.
I was going to say, like, that child, I don't know what he did to piss all these creatures off.
Yeah, I don't either.
But they're all after him.
They're all after him. Yeah, the crocodile came after him in the first one. The big bird thing came after him in this one. However, I love the fact that they brought the babies back because now they've got like flying mounts that they can train to ride and they don't have to worry about their fuel.
And everybody looked terrified when they were bringing them out. I'm like, first of all, they were on that small ship, those large birds.
I thought the same thing. Like, where did you cram them up in the corner? Yeah. Get in there now.
Where did everybody else sit?
Squeeze in. Act like you like each other. Get closer.
Man.
The other thing I want to hit on is we had to watch Order 66 again. Thanks, Dave. We keep having to watch Jedi get mowed down, but
right.
I want to get your opinion because I have my own on who rescued Grogu. So what did you think about when that elevator door opened and we saw who we saw there? Did you have any idea who it was? And did you have any reaction at all?
I'm very sleepy. I don't remember the scene very well. I just remember it happening.
Okay.
You talking about when a young Mace Windu came
in? Yeah. Okay. So I figured that you might not know who the actor was?
You're talking about the guy that took the guy him on the actual ship.
Yeah, the guy that actually rescued him.
Dude, I have no idea. I'm sorry.
That's all right. There's probably some people that don't know. That was Ahmed Best. That was Jar Jar Binks.
That was your best?
That was Ahmed Best.
Oh,
is the actor.
I thought name. You were saying you were at my best. I thought
that's what you're saying. Ahmed Best is the actor who did the motion capture and the voice for Jar Jar Binks. And he's also the actor that almost committed suicide because of the amount of bullying and hatred that he got for playing Jar Jar in the early 2000s. So he got to come full circle. Now he's playing a character called Caloran Beck. And that character actually, I got so excited because I have kids. So I know I already knew about this. In 2020, they did a series on Disney Plus called Jedi Temple Challenge. It was basically Legends of the Hidden Temple, like from when we were kids, except it was like Padawans doing their trials and building their lightsaber. And it was a lot of fun. And Caloran Beck was the Jedi master that was teaching the young Padawans how to become Jedi. And so they have canonically made this actor or this character a Jedi master who's in charge of Padawans who rescued Grogu from the end. Yeah, you better Sith life over there once Grogu gone. I bet Ian Wells saw that and was just like, I know Grogu makes it out of here, but maybe we're going to see an Elseworlds where they get him. Let's get him.
Sith at least somebody else has to be getting cut down over there, right?
But yeah, I was very excited for a couple reasons. One, because I think it's really fun that they continued this character that they created for like a game show for kids. But the fact that it was Ahmed Best and that he's come so full circle from being bullied to the point where he wanted to take his own life to now being able to be a Jedi master who got this beautiful, loving reception online. People have been very excited to see him. When those doors opened, I gasped and I cheered out loud. I was so excited for him because, you know, I've heard his story about how badly he got attacked because people hated Jar Jar Binks and they attacked the actor portraying him, which is a ridiculous thing to do. But yeah, so now we know season. Now we know who saved Grogu. It was Jar Jar. Good job, Jar Jar. Way to make up.
We're for... gonna go in the ship. I'm gonna get.
All right.
Well, this makes me want to go back and watch the Ewok movies.
Oh, the Ewok movies are so bad, but I love them.
I'm afraid to watch them because I loved them as a kid, but I know if I watch them now, I'd probably throw up.
Well, Wilford Brimley's in there, so.
Diabetes.
All right, well, my voice is pretty well shot, as you guys can hear, so I'm going to have to...
time.
I'm going to have to say that we're going to have to wrap this up. Ian, you got anything you want to add about these first four episodes?
I don't have anything new. I'm just going to beat a dead horse here. They are amazing. They're not necessarily being forthcoming with what we're about to see. I think there's a lot of speculation that we can make of where it's going to go and how and why and all that good stuff. So I think that's really cool about the fact that even though there's little happening, there's a lot happening at the same time. And I think that's a really neat kind of thing that they've done with this show is instead of straightforward throwing them off Gideon or somebody in your face, be like, well, here's the big baddie. This is the showdown we're going to get at the end. It's been more about the storytelling, but there's still a lot of action in it. So I really like that about the show and the writing and the directing. And I just find it so like disappointing yet comical at the same time that we could get what four straight seasons of this show.
Book of Boba Fett was in between there.
So three straight seasons of this show being, I'm glad you brought that up actually, relevant and fun and consistent. And I was going to go back to, you know, the fact that Boba Fett wasn't really that enjoyable for me. And I think you had a lot of issues with it, as did a lot of people, until Din Djarin showed up. And then it became a completely different show, and it was actually like it got good all of a sudden.
Right.
So I found that kind of funny but sad at the same time that this show could be so good, three straight seasons, and the only time Boba Fett was good in my opinion was when Din showed up. So
yeah, I don't disagree with you. Don't disagree with you on that.
So I'm excited to see what direction we're going to go in with this show. There are 9 episodes?
I believe so. I didn't even look. I just guessed that there would be 9 episodes.
I knew it was going to be anywhere from 8 to 10. I'm pretty sure it's 9. I could be wrong. I've been wrong plenty of times. So
what?
I know. It surprises me too. Not really. I'm not surprised. But yeah, I'm excited to see where we go in these next 4 or 5 episodes. I know you're probably looking that up right now.
8,
I'm
just gonna 8 episodes.
There's 8. Okay.
Yeah, so we're halfway through.
Told you, I was probably wrong. So we're halfway through, and again, we have no idea what's going to happen. They're keeping you guessing, so that's amazing to me. This is a great show. If I had to rate it right now, I'm going to rate this season an 8.5 already. So
yeah, first half of the season, 8.5 is solid. I think I would probably do the same.
I also love that the armorer is always looking for a reason to make something new.
I know.
And then she's just like, Grogu, you fight in so many battles. Here's this little plate to go on your chain.
Just let's just cover your chest. And what I love is that thing took up his whole torso,
yeah,
like down to his knees.
The thing has got to be heavy for him. I know, like, usually that armor is very
light. Beskar's light, but still.
But compared to him, like it being that big and him being so small, what would feel like maybe a pound to a pound and a half for like you or I probably felt like 10 to 15 pounds for him.
Right. Oh, and by the way, we didn't touch on it, but Grogu doing his little flippy flips and knocking out the three darts in a row. That was pretty fun.
I love the fact that like he just stood there. Mm-hmm. He looked down. He looked back at you. What the fuck?
you can see that I'm not ready for this, right?
And then he got shot again. He looks up. He's just like, don't look at me. Look at him. I'm going to look at you.
You put me here.
Somebody better get their boy. Somebody came and got that boy.
Yeah, they did. But anyway, that's the first four. Boy, yeah, I didn't even think about the fact that those monsters want that kid.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Multiple creatures.
They know that it. They knew it was Jimmy Kimmel's nephew, and they're not a big fan of Kimmel. They're more Fallon. they're Fallon fans. That's not. That really is Jimmy Kimmel's nephew. They're fans of the Tonight Show.
Are you sure that wasn't not Oscar? What's the Guillermo?
Oh yeah, it's Guillermo.
Guillermo's nephew. Hello, hi everybody. I love Guillermo.
I like Guillermo too. All right, let's wrap this up before I lose my voice completely. Oh my gosh, thank you so much for watching. Thank you for listening. If you're on YouTube, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, ring the notification bell, share this with your friends. If you're listening on the podcast, don't forget to rate and review us. Follow us on all the social media platforms, TikTok while it's there.
right.
And sorry, oh boy, this is going downhill quick. Also, check out our merchandise store if you want to support us in a monetary fashion. That would be amazing. Thanks for that. And I think that's all I got to say. That's all. I think that pretty much sums it up.
I pretty much think that sums up what we were all thinking.
All right. Ian, thank you so much, man. Everybody, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. For Ian, I have been Derek. This has been the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, and we will see you next time.
Yay!